Welcome back. I trust you are getting blessed with this interesting discussion. In fact, let me not conclude. Let the pastor finish before we jump to conclusion. So, sir, the ball is in your court again. Continue defending.
But I hope I'm saying something.
You certainly, are, sir. It's sinking deep.
Thank you very much. Certainly.
Take note that the creator of this whole universe, not just the earth, the whole universe has bound himself to keeping his own laws.
That's a serious point.
According to a study, the Jews, they saw about 613 laws in the Mosaic, under Moses' law, the Mosaic system. And none of those laws was without signification.
Significance.
None of them was without significance. Everything was pointing to something. Our God, I hope you know, Jesus is our God.
Amen.
Okay. For the appearance of our God. And our God is not a hypocrite.
Amen.
It's not the one that will give law that, and then he himself, he will not keep those laws. Oh, that is the truth. Now, under the laws of Moses, an owner, listen very well, an owner of land and animals, the owner of the land and animal, you are responsible for what happens on that land. If the owner of that land digs a pit and doesn't cover it, and the neighbor's animal falls into it and dies, there was a law that covers it.
That's right.
Owner of the pit was liable. I'm going somewhere.
I follow you.
If someone built a house with a roof and did not put a railing, maybe it's a story building, and someone falls off, the owner of that house must flee to the city of refuge and hide there until the death of the
manslaughter.
The high priest. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But let's look at some scriptures so that these explanations can be clearer. Exodus chapter 21.
Let's read
some scriptures.
Okay. That's what, sir.
Verse 28, read up to verse 32. Exodus 21.
Okay. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die.
You know the meaning of gore? With the horn. He pierces you with the horn.
Then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten.
Listen, that is a law. That is a law.
But the owner of the ox shall be quit.
Go on.
But if the ox
were... why? Because you have killed the... You know, you've caught the animal, you have killed it. Therefore, the owner of the ox is free. You will not be punished. Verse 29.
But if the ox were wound to push with his horn in time past.
Again.
But if the ox were wound to push with his horn in time past.
He is known for doing that thing in time past. Everywhere you see, go to change people, they pursue people.
And it has been testified to his owner.
And the owner has been warned.
And he has not kept him in.
And the owner did not keep that animal, the ox, somewhere restricted by locking it somewhere.
But that he had killed a man or a woman. The ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death.
You see the law? You were supposed, you know what he's doing. Going up and down. Note this Exodus 21, because that is the summary of what is happening. You know what he's doing, that is used to destroying people. They warn you. Each of you to tame that your ox. You left and it goes to kill anybody, both that animal and you, the owner, you'll be put to death. Verse 30. I will explain all this.
If there be laid on him a sum of money.
Go ahead.
Then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him.
Now, they can decide to pity you. They sort of killing you. Or you pay a ransom. And whatever they give you. I know you are following me now.
Yes, sir.
I know you are following me.
Yes, sir.
you must pay that money to be alive. That is the price for redemption. Go ahead.
Whether you have got a son or you have got a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him.
Verse 32.
If the ox shall push a man's servant or a maid servant,
okay,
he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of
that
silver.
That is the price for a slave. And what will happen?
And the ox shall be stoned.
You see that. Now go to Zechariah chapter 11. Verse 12 and verse 13.
11, verse 12 and 13.
Yes.
And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. Mm-hmm. And if not, forbear. So they wait.
So hold on. Who is talking here?
God.
Who is talking?
God.
Eh?
God.
The Almighty Creator himself.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
So they wait for my price, 30 pieces of silver.
Verse 13.
And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord.
You see what Judas. What Judas was fulfilling? It was actually God doing everything. Now go to Matthew 27, because maybe for those who don't read Bible, let's see how it played out there.
Okay.
From verse 3, let's read up to verse 10.
Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.
Uh-huh.
And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that.
Uh-huh.
And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself.
Uh-huh.
And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.
Uh-huh.
And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in.
Okay.
Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day.
Uh-huh.
Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued,
that is,
whom they of the children of Israel did value,
uh-huh,
and gave them for the potter's field, uh-huh, as the Lord appointed me.
As the Lord appointed me. Jeremiah prophesied, Zechariah prophesied it. Now, take note here. The Creator, listen very well, the Creator of the universe must abide by his own laws.
Mm.
Listen very carefully. It's put here in writing here. He created Adam,
mm-hmm,
placed him in a place where he could be deceived by a serpent, which the Creator also created.
Mm.
Adam and all his offerings, including you and me, fell into a pit and all died. Are you seeing where the law is coming up now?
Yes, sir.
The pit that is in his own field. He is the one that placed that pit
serpent
there. The serpent deceiving is that pit there that was created. In Adam, all died, including you and me. According to the Mosaic law, the Creator was responsible for Adam's death and must make restitution according to the law.
Hmm.
Satan has deceived mankind time and time again according to the law. I hope you know. He says, that ox
has wandered,
that has been goring people up and down. You are aware, you have been told. See what he's doing. He made all the angels to fall. He made the animal kingdom to fall. You know his history. You did not cage him. You have power. And you are the one that created himself. You did not cage him. It is your own creation that is creating this wahala. He says, according to the law, the owner of that beast that has been known to go in the past must die along with the beast. Can you see now why God himself had to come to die?
Mm-hmm.
Through Christ Jesus. Because he's the one that made Adam and Eve to die by not taming Satan.
In his field.
However, if a ransom price has been placed upon that man, he may be redeemed.
Mm.
The value of the priest of Israel, I mean, the value that the priest of Israel placed upon Jesus was 30 pieces of silver, which Judas put into the temple. Where did he take it to? That is what he was praying. Lawfully, Jesus, who the Father gave all things to, and who all things are of to and through, according to Romans chapter 11, he must die because of allowing Satan. Because not just that the Father put in, the actual is God in the flesh. So when you look at Jesus, you're looking at the Father in the flesh. That's why he was called Emmanuel. People don't know the meaning of why he came as Emmanuel. He must die because of allowing Satan to kill Adam and his offspring. But Jesus was redeemed with the 30 pieces of silver.
Ransom. Mm.
Oh, glory be to God. Not only that, but the 30 pieces of silver purchased the potter's field, which became the field of blood, which became a proper burial place in the land of Israel for foreigners, Gentiles, that are non-Israelites. This field of blood was located in the valley of the son of Hinnom. We all know that, known as Gehenna.
Yes, sir.
To the Greeks, they call it Gehenna. And it's better known as hell in many other translations. Now, for those of you who want to translate Gehenna as hell, you should know that Judas purchased that field called hell, which the potter's field is in. I tell you now that the great potter of the universe is taking those broken pieces, thrown into that pit, called worthless by most of the churches, and he is remaking them, all of them, just like he's remaking you. He is also, because he's a potter, he's also remaking those myriads of vessels buried in the dump of humanity, and they will come forth. That's the truth. Our God, our Father, will take complete responsibility for all the injustice that have ever been committed on the planet Earth. Whether they be from Satan, Adam, whether they are bulls or goats, or you and me, He created us and He will restore, correct, balance, make good, reconcile, redeem. That is why all Israel will be saved. Because whatever is going on, he put them there to be using them to do what he wants to do. Until every tear that has ever been shed in this world of sin is wiped away, and every person who has been hurt, mad, or killed will be restored until the glory of the latter house. Hallelujah. Be much greater than the glory of the former house. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One day, there's a note here. The true story of Adam will be told, and we will see that our Father wasn't as stupid or callous or powerless as the modern church makes him out to be in the great fall of Adam's story. No. Our Father allowed Adam to fall for very good reasons, much better reasons than we have been taught in the past. What we have just looked at, praise the Lord, is the mystery. What we call the mystery of God is a script. It's the divine movie.
Movie of redemption.
What you are seeing here.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me just give a summary of what I'm talking about. Let's be careful where you place Judas. He did the will of the Father.
Very clear. Very, very clear.
And fulfilled the scriptures. Matthew chapter 5.
Matthew 5. Verse what, sir?
He came to fulfill the scripture.
Matthew 5, 17.
Yes.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law.
He didn't come to destroy the law.
Or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
He came to fulfill. Can you see how it is fulfilled? Now, Peter, who we all love, tried to prevent Jesus' crucifixion and was called Satan by our Lord. Peter, who was not mindful of the will of God, was restored. Was it not Jesus who said, For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. That's Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Read it.
Matthew 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Was Jesus doing the will of the Father which is in heaven?
Judas. Yes.
I mean, Judas. Was Judas doing the will of the Father which is in heaven? Yes.
Very well, sir.
So, therefore, be careful about placing Jesus' brother, Judas, in your so-called hell that you have created for him. You are the one that created it for him. One day you may have to look up to Judas instead of looking down on him.
Wow.
Peter denied him 3 times in one night while Judas declared Jesus innocent in front of the high priest. Judas had a very important job in the kingdom of God.
Foundation.
That foundation that he dug. See another important thing he did. According to the law, when you bring the sacrificial lamb, you have to examine it. For 3.5 years as a priest, because the father he could go to that level, it means he was with the labor. He was in the lineage of priesthood.
That's true, sir.
As a priest.
Very true.
He inspected the lamp of God as an unbiased man. Throughout the period he was with him, he knew he was not guilty of anything. He examined him and he came and declared him innocent. While to fulfill the law, because the lamb to be slain must be innocent, blameless. He was not one of them. He was not one of them, a Galilean. He was the outsider. He did his job perfectly. If Judas really wanted to mess things up, if he wanted to mess things up, he could have agreed with the high priest and call him a blasphemer. You know, who claimed to be the son of God when he really wasn't. But Judas declared the lamb spotless and unblemished.
Innocent.
Innocent. The perfect Passover. And I put that here. Thank you, Judas, for giving the redemption money, which purchased the potter's field, a place for strangers in the land of Israel, and the silver, which speaks of the redemption of the family of Adam, who sold himself as a slave to sin. You may not like how Judas got that money, but you should rejoice in what it did for you. You may not like how he got the money, but rejoice in what that money he got did for you. Therefore, don't condemn Judas and say he went to hell. Judas is not in hell. I say it based on this infallible proofs I have tried to project.
And not just that he's not in hell, he's part of the 12.
He's part of the 12.
So the 24
elders. Return to his place.
Okay, Pastor, yes. Please.
With what you've explained, Daddy, one would be curious to know, why was Judas appointed for this position? One, was it because of his character? Because we've seen the scripture describing him as lover of money. Why wasn't it in the script of God? Why wasn't it other apostles? Why was it Judas?
And that's a very good question. Although we look at him as a lover of money, he was a lover of money, but he was not covetous. If he was covetous, why would he go and collect only 30 pieces of silver? But above all, although he was a lover of money, God also saw him as a sincere person. Yes? Remember, it is not because we have to place this in very well.
We will call him a thief.
No, you have to understand this thing very well. It was not because he loved money, that's why he went. It was because a spirit entered him. And it was God, Christ himself, that projected that spirit in him. In fact, he anointed him for that.
Wow.
So when you say it's because he loved money, that's why. That means if you put that, you will now generalize it, that the people that are in the ministry of keeping the treasury of the church. Mm-hmm. You are saying that they are there because they love money. Then nobody will love to be a treasurer in the church. Mm-hmm. Because to be associated with betrayal. But no, it is because he's sincere. Yeah, they say he was stealing from the purse.
No, the Bible just called him a thief once. Said because, let me read that narration. We see it just in one place. John chapter 12 verse 6.
Yes.
This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein.
Now, so if he says a thief, where was he stealing from?
The bag.
It's from the bag now. That's that's why we conclude so. You know, he was a thief. He was taking from the bag, but he wasn't taking all. He was not taking so much to satisfy himself. He will not account for it. It's not the normal temptation of if you're in charge of treasury. You know, but this nature that is in him was a nature of sincerity. And that you could see that it wasn't him. It wasn't him. We have to take note of that. Yeah, including me, until these things begin to unfold now under the Issachar anointing. Can't you see that our depth of revelation is getting better and better and better and better?
Wow.
And anytime I say anything contrary to what I have believed and preached, I will adjust it immediately. You know, especially when I know I have the responsibility of leading followership. We must teach them the truth. Now, what is the purpose of this?
Yes, sir. What is the purpose of this?
You know, is it to show you that I know Bible? I know. No. It helps us understand mercy. It removes pride because you're a Christian. When you see that we are all called according to the purpose of God in a great house. 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Yes, sir. Chapter 2, verse 20.
You know, that word.
But in a great house.
No, that word, I want you to note, that word says but. That means there's something that was spoken before that.
Okay.
That is why I say, let's go back from verse 14.
Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit.
You see, it is that statement I wanted us to really stress. Yes.
But to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto
that
God.
That is the importance.
A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
But shun profane and vain babblings.
Vain babblings.
For they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Yes.
And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Ammonius and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith
false
of some.
Doctrines. Now watch it. I want you to note why was he against Hymenaeus and Philetus. They were teaching doctrines that will overthrow the faith of people. There are doctrines that makes you to appreciate salvation and keep you going in following this God. And there are scriptures that will throw you off the faith. Because if you say resurrection is gone already, that means I have no hope of life after here now. So why am I risking my life all about? That's the danger in such teachings. Now, but if you look at my teaching on Judas, now you can easily say, you are not trying to say you can do any evil, just the same way like those who fight the doctrine of eternal security. They will try to let you know and say that type of teaching will that once you are saved, forever you are saved, eternal security, you make people not behave anyhow because they think they are saved. Now, that is not it. It's because you don't teach it properly. You see? You don't teach it properly. Now, see, what eternal security does is it makes you fall in love with God. It lets you see mercy. And anyone that understands mercy, receives mercy, will give mercy.
Amen.
Therefore, wickedness will not be in you. Pride will not be in you because you know you are where you are. You didn't work for it. You don't even know why he chose you. And to see that he causes you to know something, he does not allow another person to know it. So, what pride will you have? It keeps you humble.
Hallelujah.
It removes pride. That's why God hates pride.
Amen.
Now, verse 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Yes.
Having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his.
Now, why does he know them that are his? Because that revelation produces a corresponding response that molds you through humility, through obedience, through love. And then among yourselves, because you receive mercy, you show mercy. And they are the identification of that his own. Now, and let
everyone that nameth the name of Christ, yes, depart from iniquity. But in a great house.
Now, in a great house. That great house is the church. Read on.
There are not only vessels of gold and of silver,
okay,
but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
So when you get this revelation and you find yourself where he has placed you, somebody like me, and I'm sure the same thing with you, see my background, where he brought me from. He saved me. Gave me the Holy Ghost. After giving me the Holy Ghost, then he said, it's not enough. I want you to get a crown when you get there. Then he gave me a gift so that I will use it and glorify him. And then he will give me a crown again over it. Gave me eternal life. It's not enough. He's promising me a crown. What type of Christian will I be when I look at all my mates that have died without knowing him? When I look at my relations that are still maybe Muslims, what does it do to me? There I see people again, where he says, it's not everyone that say, Lord, 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 that will enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Many will say this, many will say, I did this, I did this. So it's not even enough that I have a gift. And he let me know how to operate it acceptably before him. What are you saying? Does that make me proud or make me humble? Yeah. Won't it make me love him? That's why I can say he loves me. I cannot tell why. Such love. So when we sing these songs, you know that these songs are not songs for entertainment. They are songs that define who we are in response
to what we know.
To what we know.
Amen.
Now, the purpose of this thing about Judas is stop looking at Judas that he betrayed Christ. What of you? Do you know that there is the second crucifixion of Jesus? He said it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hebrews.
Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's start it from verse 4.
Yes. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, yes, and have tasted of the heavenly gift,
yes,
and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and now have tasted the good word of God,
uh-huh,
and the powers of the world to come,
uh-huh,
if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame.
And what do they do? They went back. And we have seen so many Christians today that supposedly left Egypt, and they have gone back to Egypt. For which reason Christ went to the cross on Calvary to remove us from Egypt. So while you're looking at Judas as one that betrayed Christ,
Lord Jesus,
an accomplice to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In fact, if it doesn't even make sense, somebody betrayed and somebody killed, and you're facing the one that betrayed and the one that did the actual killing, no problem with him. And they even came and repented. So the fact that Jesus Christ said, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And we see what came upon Judas and how after the thing finished, left him, he came to himself and regretted it. He confessed it and made restitution. Let me know that he was covered by that prayer.
Amen.
He was forgiven.
Amen.
And if he's forgiven, then he has lost his position here. There is therefore no reference concerning him here. But he will return to his place.
Amen.
It's among the 12 that the Father gave.
Sir, you need to say no further. It's very, very clear.
Thank you.
It's very, 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 so very powerful. Clear. We give God all the glory. I want to thank my pastors who are here. Pastor Moses has defended the faith once again.
Hallelujah.
And Pastor Elvis has also come to defend him. We give the Lord all the praise. This is Rapture Watch. A number will be displayed on the screen now. we want to hear your comments or your questions concerning these subjects that we've treated today. Yeah. We know a lot of people have different things flowing through their mind now. Why is he saying this? Why is he saying this? What about this? If this is true, why is it like this? Yes, please feel free and send all your questions, your comments concerning what we've spoken today, and the Lord will richly bless you. Till we meet again, don't miss the next episode of Rapture Watch. It will be very great. God bless you. Shalom to the Bride of Christ.